Now, this morning's reading is from Luke chapter 4, and we're starting at verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly, I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elijah the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way.
Amen. Thank you. Zarephath, well done. Very good. So God doesn't want us to merely survive. God wants us to thrive. Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life, and life in all its fullness." That's for us as well. Life here and life hereafter. Life in eternity. And in the passage that we've just heard, Jesus said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." That was to the crowds that were with them at the time. But Jesus was saying, "I'm here. I've arrived. Let's do the thing that I've been called to do. This is what I came for. Let's do this." And it was good news for the poor. It was sight for the blind, freedom for prisoners, freedom for the oppressed, and the Lord's favour. God's plan for each one of us, and not just us, but those beyond the walls of the church, those who are not yet Christians, God's plan for all of us is to thrive, is to live the very best life that he has for us. In the video that you were watching your life groups this week, the introductory video, one of the hosts, Joanna, she talks about positive change, and she says that one of the hopes in this series is that where we're struggling, we will find breakthrough. Where we're lost, we'll find guidance. And where there's hurt, we'll find healing and restoration. So this whole series is about change. It's about positive change in order to have increased well-being. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says that we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That we're not to remain the people that we are, and we're certainly not to follow the ways of the world, but we are to be transformed. Not just changed a little bit. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And our prayer as we go through this is that that will happen for us. That our understanding of our well-being will change, and that our attitude to our well-being will change so that we might be transformed by the renewing of our understanding of those things. Andy, would you mind just dropping the blind down there, because it's coming in on the eyes at the back. Thank you. But this is much like we said at the start of the growth habits series. Do you remember me saying that it's not a guilt trip? This is not about making you think I'm not doing well enough. This is not it at all. Because not one of us here has got all this right. Not one of us is on full in every one of those dials. I promise you that. It's not about a guilt trip at all. It's about an introduction to better. So wherever you are on any of those dials, it's about an introduction and an invitation for you to do make some changes in order to improve in those areas. It's about an abundant life of healing, of restoration, of joy, and of freedom. It's about a life of hope and a life of breakthrough. It's about good news for all of us if we will accept it and act on it. But it does require action. It does require us doing something. But the good news is that it can just be small steps. Transformation may come, but it can start just with a few small steps. We're not saying, well, the whole of life has to change by the end of February. That's not what we're saying at all. Can we go to the slide, please? Excellent, thank you. So I've been reading a book over the last, well, just finished it before Christmas, that was it. But it's been about 2 months, but it's fantastic. It's called The Power of Habit. Atomic Habits, I beg your pardon. But he talks about the power of habit. And in it he talks about the power of tiny gains. So taking little steps and yet that making a big difference ultimately. And if you like the maths, this might help you. So he talks about making a 1% improvement in an area every single day for a year. Okay? If you get 1% worse every day, then by the end of the year, you are 0.03% worse. If you improve by 1% every day, by the end of the year, you are about 38 times better at whatever that is. Okay, so just a 1% improvement every day makes a massive, massive difference. So we're not talking about this huge change needed now. It can be a number of little changes, little steps, that build up to a big change and a big improvement. And we'll think about that a little bit more next week. But I want us to think about the story of the Bible, the huge story of the Bible. There's lots of little bits in it, and there's lots of meta-narratives. There's lots of other arcs in the story if you look at the whole story. But let's look at the story as a whole, the story of the Bible as a whole. And what does it have to teach us about well-being? In the song that we just sang, "How Great Is Our God," it says, "And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands from beginning to the end." God has a plan. That whole story that we're going to look at today, the story of the Bible, God's got it all mapped out already, beginning to end. He has a plan. This is about us understanding that plan and fitting in to what it is that God wants to do with us and for us and through us. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10 says that God has made known to us the mystery of his will. He's made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in Christ Jesus. To be put into effect, so note that, he's told us, he's revealed the mystery to us of his good and perfect will through Jesus. To be put into effect, that means we've got to do something, that the plan has got to come to fruition. To be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So what is it about this big plan that God has? What is it about this big story that talks to us about well-being? So the first thing is that the first part of the story is about creation, which was the original well-being. Think about Adam and Eve and the whole of creation, and everything was perfect. I mean, how amazing would that be, that everything was perfect? I mean, I'm not just talking about how we relate to one another as church members and church family, but everything in society being perfect. How amazing would that be? But that's what it was like in the beginning. So the original well-being is what creation was. That's how life should have been. That's how life should be. Okay, so the first element of the big story of the Bible is creation. And the next is the fall of man. Not just man, man and woman, but mankind. Let's be clear. The fall of mankind, where man goes, mankind go their own way. They don't follow God's plan. They go against the very thing that God said you must not do. And they fall away. And there is this distance between them. The relationship is lost. Their well-being is lost. They're sent out from the garden. And they're no longer living the life that God created for them and intended for them. And in fact, he's punished them and he's put barriers in their way. Life's going to be hard for you. You're going to toil. You're going to have to work at this. Okay, so well-being was lost. Then there's the story of Israel, and there is a promise of well-being to come. Israel wandering in the desert, seeking the Lord. They mess up along the way many, many times, don't we all? Anyone? Yeah. But that's what Israel were like. But they had this promise. Literally the promised land, but this promise of a better life. They've been saved from something to go and enjoy this better life. There was a promise of well-being to come for them, and it kept them going. If we think the last 2 years have been hard, well, they had 40 years. I mean, they didn't do a great job, let's be honest, but they got there. They got there. They reached the promised land. Well-being was promised, and they got there. And then Jesus arrives a little bit further on in the story, and well-being is restored. That something of that original well-being is in our grasp again because of what Jesus came and did for us. So we've got the original well-being, God's original plan. We've got the fall of man, and well-being is lost. We've got the promised well-being to Israel, and then Jesus arrives, and something of that well-being is restored. Not fully, but he's made a way for it to be restored. And then there's us, the church. And we have a story of increasing well-being. We have a story that if we're following the ways that Jesus taught us to live, if we're living in those ways together, not just us, but with and in society, then our well-being will be increasing. That we should be closer to God day by day, closer to one another day by day, more in unity day by day. And through that, we should begin to thrive. We should enjoy the well-being that we can have here on earth. I wonder if that is our experience. I wonder if it's been our experience. I wonder if we will make it our goal in this new year. And then finally, there's this new creation. When Jesus comes again, there will be perfect well-being restored. A new heaven and a new earth. And for those of us who believe, new heavenly bodies in some form. I mean, I'm hoping for one that's got two working legs, slightly less belly. And yeah, I mean, my top half is looking really good because of all the crutches at the minute. But there we are. But I'm hoping that will flow down when I reach the new creation. But that's what the big story of the Bible is about. It's about our well-being. God wants us to thrive. He wants us absolutely to live the very best life that we can. We see well-being through individual stories in the Bible as well. And we'll look at some of those as we go. We're going to start to understand how God engages with Elijah. From next week, we'll start to understand how he engages with Elijah and Elijah's different areas of well-being. What is it that God does to engage with him? And we'll look at those six different areas as well. But I want to leave us with some advice for this series. And this is not my advice. This is advice from somebody else who has led this course already. And they've said that if we want to see greater well-being, there's three things that we need to do. As we go through this course, the first is to follow the best directions, and that doesn't just mean don't listen to Ricky and Google Maps. But it means follow the Bible. What is it that the Bible is saying about our well-being? So everything that we talk about over the next 8 weeks will obviously be based on what the Bible says. But if we're looking for how we can live our best life, there's no self-help books that are only going to get you so far. Nothing in this world will ever satisfy, but the Bible will lead us to where we need to go. Follow the best advice, the best directions that we have. The next is to seek expert advice. Now, I promise you, I'm not an expert in any of these areas. But we have people in our fellowship who have experience in these areas, greater than I do or anybody else who will be speaking. And we're going to hear from others as well about what they've experienced on their journey. But actually, they're not experts either. The expert that we need to seek is God. We need to seek his guidance as we go through this process, as we go through this series. We need to seek God. What is it that God is saying to you? I mean, your life group leaders, absolutely listen to your life group leaders, but seek what God is saying, even above what your life group leaders are saying. God may speak through them, absolutely, but what is God saying to you in your personal private time, in your own devotions? But what is God saying to you through your life group leaders, through others? We need to seek the expert guidance that God has for us. And then the final item is to travel with others. Don't do this journey on your own. And we know that not everybody is in a life group. And that's why we're going to do these connect groups. I said earlier it was four. I apologise. During the song, I realised it's three. We're going to do three groups that are going to run via Zoom. So even if restrictions kick in, we still carry on. We're going to meet via Zoom. Those details we'll send out. But that's about ensuring that everybody who wants to go on this journey can do it. If you're not yet in a life group, but you'd love to connect with a group of people and journey together, please do sign up and join us for one of those groups. So the advice for greater well-being is follow the best directions, seek expert guidance, and travel with others. I'm going to ask the bands to come and join me. We're going to sing again in a minute. But one of the things that we need to do, if you look around the room, I can't remember where it is now. So it's over here. We've got our values around the room. And on this poster over here, it talks about authenticity. It talks about us being honest. Honest before God and with God, but honest with each other as well. And we're going to be hearing from a number of people through this series, different speakers each week, different service leaders. But we want to hear stories from you as well. So we've got a number of people we're going to contact this week to say, actually, we think that you've got something to share in this area. Would you be willing to come and share it? And we're going to ask if you in your groups and as you go through this series, if you find that you have something that you feel is important to share, we want to hear from you as well. Now, we're going to sing in just a minute after I've prayed, but we're going to sing a song called Come to the Altar. And it says, leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, because there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. And it says, bring your sorrows. We don't leave our sorrows at the door when we come in this place. Bring your sorrows to Jesus and trade them for joy. And from the ashes, a new life is born, because Jesus is calling. Let me pray, and then we'll sing together. Father God, as we start this series, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us. Lord, we do want to hear from one another. We want to hear from our life group leaders, our preachers, our service coordinators, and our worship team. But Father, we want to hear from you. Lord, I pray that you would set a foundation for us in this week, as we dig into this series from next week in a bit more detail. Father, would you come and speak to us, come and challenge us, I pray. Father, we want to seek after you, and we want to seek greater well-being. We want to live the lives that you have for us, your good and perfect and pleasing will. So, Lord, would you engage with us, meet with us. Lord, may we encounter you now in this worship time, but also as we go through this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.